Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
All right, so talk tonight. Does anyone remember what the topic is?
Grace.
Yep, grace. There's a second word to it, do you remember? Grace. Grace alone. Grace alone. All right, but we're going to give some context first. So what did we talk about last time? Pastor Ben, amazing Pastor Ben, gave us a talk last time. What did he talk about? Any ideas? Faith. Faith what?
Foundations.
Oh. It wasn't faith foundations, but I'm glad that you remember that. That's very important. That's a really important thing we're doing. I'll give you a hint, one of the words was in the title last time. Yeah, faith alone. You got it. Cool. All right, so I'm going to give a bit of context about Ben's talk because I think it's really important that we follow on from that. All right, faith. Now, Ben, I'm very sorry if I'm misinterpreting what you said, but I definitely went back and listened, so this is what I got. Faith is about trusting how good Jesus is and entrusting in the good works that he has done and continues to do for us. A couple of examples of that he gave, which I thought were really cool. When I sit down behind me, I have faith that that is going to hold me. When we rock up today, we have faith that the power is going to work, that we're going to be able to hear the music, that I don't have to yell, that, you know, we're not going to freeze. That is kind of having faith. Tonight, we're talking about grace, grace alone. So, also from last time, we made up a character. We had a character. We had a protagonist. He had really good main character energy. We're going to follow him again. Does anyone remember that guy's name? Oh, yes, it was Terrell. I love that you remember that. That's awesome. It was Terrell. It was you that made it up. I've never heard that name before until that day, so that's pretty cool. Where was Terrell going? I remember where he was going. He was going to Jamaica. That's right. Terrell was going to Jamaica. Okay, so we're going to continue with Terrell's story for a second. So Terrell went to Jamaica, and to do that, he had faith that, you know, the plane he got on would take him to the right location, that the pilot wouldn't crash, that his luggage arrived safely. If he didn't, he could have done it his own way. He could have learned to fly, bought a plane, built a boat, rode. You know, there's to not have faith in anyone or anything is, I think it makes life fairly more complicated. I think that's fair to say. So, Terrell has had a beautiful time in Jamaica. Okay, he's had a really good holiday. He's been there for a few weeks. He's gotten a nice suntan because apparently he's a white guy, and he's on his way back. He's got some dreadlocks as well, all these kinds of things. He's coming back. Terrell has gotten over his fear of flying. He's on the plane. He's ready to go. And just as the plane is about to fly, he hears this announcement. But before I do that, I am going to need you all to participate in an activity. So we're kind of doing a bit of a game now. We're going to break up our talk. So I need some volunteers straight up. Everyone who's got their hand up, just come and line up here for me, basically. Anyone at the back as well, do not be shy. Come and get in. Sarah, Jordan, Jemima, back at the... How many we got? Just line up, and that's okay. Everyone's going to participate, though. Don't you worry. Okay. All right. What I'm giving you... This is just for me to keep away. A stereotypes that you might find on an aeroplane, okay? So... What I'm going to do, can you guys read for me what you've got?
Parent with the crying baby.
Be as loud as possible.
A loud snorer.
A loud snorer. Because he's
a sick person who won't stop coughing.
A Karen.
Someone terrified of flying.
Someone who claps when the pain ends.
Old person flying for their grandchild wedding.
Someone who uses a device without headphones.
A famous athlete who won gold at the Olympics.
Okay, awesome. What I'm going to do, David, can you start walking? We'll spread out the queue. Okay, you guys can come this way. Just spread out. Okay, what you guys need to decide, this includes these people, is who is worthy. There is one free ticket. There's one spare first class ticket. It's popped up last minute. One of these guys is worthy of the first class ticket. So I want us all to stand up. Is everyone? You can go and talk to them, and in about 3 minutes, we're going to vote on who is worthy of the first class ticket. Yeah, you do have to be in character. Go. All right, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, the game is over. I will now allow for 10-second closing arguments if you'd like to sway any more people. So what we're going to happen, we're going to vote. I'm going to give three people... Yeah.
I'm worthy because I'm sick and I deserve better.
You deserve better, I like.
I'm worthy because I don't have a choice to be a loud snorer. I just found it on a sticky note, so it's not fair.
Committed, I like it. Oh, there's so many people.
All I do is clap.
Maybe if I have a positive experience, I won't be terrified anymore.
If I don't go to that wedding, I will die by a heart attack.
That's good.
If I'm listening to youth, so can you. Well, I'm famous, so I don't really need to explain anything there.
Ooh, I like it. Okay, does anyone from the audience... Yeah, go, David. What do you got?
Vote the Karen!
Vote the Karen. Karen deserves it. Does anyone from the audience have closing arguments as well? Anyone?
I think a parent with a crying baby deserves to be on first.
Thank you. There we go. All right, what I want us to do... Can you guys maybe just spread out a tiny bit more, those who were our flight attendees? I want you to go and stand in front of the person you think is worthy. Go and stand. Cast your vote. Did you guys want to cast your vote as well? Are you okay? Don't be shy. You can come and cast. Here we go. We've got some guests coming as well. The flight attendants are here. All right. Okay, there's a few people queued up here. I think David is the winner, is that right? Or are you guys queuing up?
No, we're the winner.
What are you, David? Who are you?
The parent with a crying baby.
Oh, the parent with a crying baby. You guys are so good. Give everyone a clap. Well done. All right, you can go and sit back down for me now. Back to your seats. Good work. Just give your sticky notes to Rachel. We're going to try and tune back in now, and we're going to... get into the word, get into the gospel. We're going to now take what we're thinking and tune it in basically to God. Okay, so also in our analogy with Pastor Ben last time, we used Jesus as a pilot. So we talked about like faith was like an airplane, Jesus is the pilot. And through his works, through Jesus' works, who do you think is worthy of the first class ticket? The Karen. Yeah. Anyone else? Who is worthy of the first class ticket? The Karen, the sick person. What's that? No, it's good. You've said enough. Yeah, true. She might sue you. Classic Karen. Well, if we actually think about it for a second, if Jesus was the pilot, we are all worthy of the first class ticket. What do you think? Do you think Jesus came to save everyone? Yeah. Well, here's the thing, right? You make an excellent point, and this is exactly where I want us to be sitting. My first point for tonight, as we read in the Bible, it is not by your works that you are saved. And if we're humanly thinking for a second, if we go, okay, there's one first class ticket, there's 20 of us on the plane, well, that the maths just doesn't work out. There's probably not enough room on the plane. Couldn't get everyone, there's not enough room for the first class spaces, but... honestly, Jesus would find a way. Jesus would find a way to give everyone a first-class ticket. Yeah, he would. We just read from Ephesians chapter 2 where Paul writes about grace and faith. It is not by your works that you are saved. Verse 1, in the past, you were spiritually dead because of your sins and the things you did against God. In that simulation, right, we just did, if you want to call it a sim, we were all claiming to be worthy. You know, it was funny. Guys coming up with like silly reasons, you were getting into characters, really cool. But at the end of the day, whether you've done good or whether you've done bad, whether you did a good job convincing people or not a good job, everyone is worthy if Jesus is the pilot. Well, here's the thing, like it might not make human sense, but everyone would be worthy. I was thinking about VCYC, right, last week, and I'm sorry for those of you who went there, but I feel like this will make sense. There were so many amazing people that made that weekend possible. We have the cooks, we have the worship team, we have the coordinators, we have the committee, we have Andrew, our host, Andrew, the speaker, who rocked a scarf like there was no tomorrow, your parents that drove you, our leaders that went along, like so many people went in to make that possible. And look, despite the good things listed, I just said, and they are good things, we're on a Christian camp, that's a good thing. It is not by their works that they are saved. Like everyone else in the world, verse 3, we deserve to suffer God's anger just because of the way we were. It's a pretty damning statement if you ask me. I don't know. Is it true? I don't know. But certainly what Paul's saying here. Verse 4 and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. It's pretty cool, hey? That's really cool. It's by grace that you've been saved. Cool. This is my niece, right? Let me introduce you. This is my niece, Audrey. She's 14 months, March. She's a March baby from last year. 14 months. And she's just at that point where she's like trying to walk, but she can't really. I've got a video to show you.
Audrey, do you want to come to mummy?
No, she doesn't.
No.
She goes the opposite direction. Yep. This is Audrey. Audrey's trying to walk. Okay, but she's just at that age where she's really trying, but she can't, you know. She's getting the idea, kind of sort of taking a couple of steps, but, you know, couldn't quite. The motor skills meets the physical skills, the brain getting all the things to transfer, the muscle memory. It just wasn't quite there. Can she walk? What do you think, yes or no? Can she walk right now? Can she walk? You think yes? Cool. Some people say no. Sure. Yes. Okay. Cool. 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 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. Well, she's kind of at the point where she's not. She's not really. She can clearly try, but it's easy for her to do something else, right? So whether you think she can walk or not, she can with someone else's help. I don't know, whether you think she can or not, she can definitely do it with someone else. For example, if I was there, if I like reach down, I'm going to take the mic away, put my arms out for a second, lift her up, she grips, and I start walking, I think you could say she could be walking too. You know, that's an example there of grace. It's like walking when you physically can't. Grace is making a way for us with Christ when there really wasn't one. It is not by your works that you are saved. You are saved by grace. Comparing verse 1 for a second. In the past, you were spiritually dead because of your sins and the things you did. Sounds pretty crazy. But Jesus, verse 5, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. Jesus made a way for us to be with him. Made a way for us to get to heaven when there was none. This is often described as Paul's favorite summary of the gospel. Paul writes a lot of the New Testament, and this is often described as his favorite little bit. Grace is the receiving of help and hope when we're just not worthy, like walking, when we literally don't know how. You know, as Christians, right, we're often subject to reflecting on the Easter story. We probably do it, I don't know, a bunch of times. Probably did it a bunch of times in church today. We're doing it now. If we have communion, we're probably doing it then. The reason we reflect on this is because this is the grace that is being given to us, the actions that God did when he died on the cross. I want you to always consider the grace that is shown to you, the suffering that Jesus took, and the hope that he gave us when we were simply undeserving one. I know I've said this analogy many times. I'm going to say it again, right? The Bible follows, you know, you can argue what exactly is the storyline of the Bible, but a bunch of people are trying to be with God and they are stuffing up. Like they are. There's murder, there's betrayal, there's following idols, there's all kinds of things. It's people like trying to follow God, and people mess up. People make mistakes. But God never wavers in his promise of grace. He promises that to Abraham back in Genesis. I will make you into people of many nations. I will bless you. You will be my family. And that is available for all of us. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I love this description. There's a lot of crazy words. It's like a marvelous description of a marvelous, marvelous promise. It's a marvelous work by a marvelous God, which gives us hope now, but also hope for the future. You are saved by God's grace. And my last point for tonight. So I want you to try and, if you take home anything tonight, it's not by your works, it's by God's grace. And number three, God's grace is enough, right? Ephesians is written by Paul writing to the people of Ephesus. I'm going to jump to a different part of the Bible for a second. We're going to keep going with Paul. And in 2 Corinthians, he writes to the people of Corinth, right? He talks about his various struggles in his ministry. And he has a pretty lengthy list. Let me just check this. He doesn't make any money. He's not very popular. He's really insecure about public speaking. He's getting thrown in jail, constantly shipwrecked, beaten up for his faith, whipped, all kinds of things. He's got a pretty fair list of, like, he's got a lot of stuff going on, you know? And he writes to the people of Corinthians about one of his particular struggles. He says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. That's a pretty big description. You know, a thorn in his flesh. Something is, he feels like something is stabbing him. It's impaling him. Something is defeating him. He doesn't quite know what it is exactly. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But this is God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. What that means is, if you don't understand the word sufficient, basically it means my grace is enough for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. You know, just because we follow God doesn't mean we're suddenly going to have all the answers. It doesn't mean that every bad thing in our life is going to disappear. It doesn't mean that we're going to get everything we want through prayer and just in general in our lives. It doesn't answer all those things. I mean, clearly said that by Paul. Paul's an incredible Christian, but he has got a lot of stuff and a lot of trials going on. And he needed reminding that God's grace is enough. Enough to sustain if you really push in and lean to it. It's enough. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made in perfect weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Yeah, cool. Yeah, there are our points for tonight. It's not by your works that you're saved. You can do lots of good things, you can do lots of bad things, whether you think you're a good person or a bad person. It's by grace, by the grace of God, that you've been saved. And that grace is enough. You know, I feel like Ben's sermon last term, had a really cool action point. It was like, we need to have faith, we need to do these things, we need to do all this awesome stuff, and that's so true. I have less of an action point tonight. My point I want you to take home is that God's grace is enough for you. And that might take time to comprehend and to understand and to get that. And we have to push into that like Paul was pushing in when he was writing people to Corinthians. When he had a thorn in his flesh, he was pushing into God, asking for an answer. You know, God's grace is enough. And I hope God's grace can be enough for you. Cool. I'm going to pray for a second. Let's pray. God, thank you. It's really hard to understand that just the works you do can be enough for us. Help us really to think about what that means. Thank you for just the grace you have. the love you show for us, how you give us life, hope, future when there is none, how you show us to walk when we can't find a way. And we pray that we can really think and understand that. Amen.